Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
We're going to begin today by hearing from David and Henny Thormaset. And David and Henny have a beautiful and long history with Living Waters Church. If you've been here for a while, you may recognize them. And if you haven't been here for a while, then you won't recognize them. But they have a long and beautiful history with Living Waters, which, if you can believe it, goes back before I was even here, or some others of us are even here. In fact, they were a part of the church at different points in their history, even into the 80s, when we were in gathering the little building here in the front. And they serve in a way that I think you're going to be inspired by. We always love getting to hear from David and Henny when they're able to visit us, get to hear about what God has done in and through their lives, and we get to hear an update from them today. So would you welcome David and Henny as they come to the platform and you share with them. Welcome, you guys.
Good morning.
I'll give you that. Have a seat. I want to begin by just asking a question. We've been in relationship for a lot of years, but maybe tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're involved in. Tell us a bit of your story and a bit about Wycliffe.
Okay, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you all. Just to add on that, we hadn't been at this church for a while, and when we started attending it again when we were going to Trinity in 1994, we came in here and we, with our family of six, increased the church population by 50%. When I look at what this church has become, it just blows me away, and we praise God for you. As mentioned, David and Henny Thormaset, we work with Wycliffe Bible Translators. For the last almost 5 years, we've now been working in the Wycliffe head office, Canadian head office in Calgary. That is our home base. We're there with two of our sons and their families, so we're happy grandparents. My role is still very much field-related. I am a liaison with the projects that we sponsor around the world. I have a team of people, each one of us responsible for our own zones, and I am responsible for helping ensure that our field partners have the resources that they need, that they have the funding, that they have the training, that they have the personnel, that they have the prayer, and we want them to be successful. So this is a big change from what we used to do, but it is an exciting thing. It's actually ramping up and having even a bigger influence than what we had when we were just in Cameroon. That's my role.
My role for the past 25 years has been to connect with partners, people like you, individuals, churches, prayer partners, financial partners. I send thank you notes and updates, prayer requests, praise topics, arrange visits, just continuing to build relationship with the network that we need to be able to go. So we need financial support and we need prayer support to bear fruit.
Mm-hmm. So in how you work with Wycliffe, just for those of us who aren't really aware, right now, how many translation projects are going on around the world through Wycliffe Bible Translators Canada? So what does that look like? That's a big question, I know, because there's a lot, but this is new for a lot of us.
Right, okay. I'll actually do this in two parts. Yeah. Right now, according to the latest statistics we have as of this month, there are 2,648 Bible translation projects going on, either New Testament or Old Testament. Wycliffe Canada is involved in 300 of those, and we actually punch above our weight when it comes to the size of the organization and how many languages we're involved with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really exciting. And when I think about those numbers, even the fact that there are over 2,600 language projects going on now, it's just phenomenal. There has just been this sharp increase, this ramping up of the work, as more and more national organizations, denominations, mission organizations that weren't all that interested in Bible translation before are all clamoring for, we need to get this done. We need to have the Word of God available to everybody in the language that speaks to their heart. So it's really exciting to be a part of that.
Yeah, exciting. It doesn't really almost sum it up. It's incredible, isn't it? So for 17 years, you guys lived in Cameroon, and you were a part of a project there. Can you tell us a little bit about what that project looked like, because that gives us an insight into Like, that's a big number you're giving us. But what did that project look like? What did translation look like there?
Well, even back then, the idea of the missionary going and living in a village and doing a project is pretty much an archaic idea. It had its time, but what happens now is that we go, we teach, we train, we mentor, we develop local capacity so that we can step out of the way. We worked very closely with two language groups. The first one was called the Agam people. They didn't have a written language when we first went there, just spoken. We helped them develop the orthography, and as part of that, we trained Bible translators in Bible translation principles. We trained literacy workers, trained one of the young men, Nelson, in linguistics. And it's fun because we kind of derailed him from the life that he had envisioned for himself. He was working on a bachelor in science in chemistry, and as he worked with us, the chief told him to go and work with us, and he just did as he was told. As he worked with us, he got more and more excited about linguistics. He dropped his chemistry, got a bachelor's in linguistics, got a master's in linguistics, and he has now submitted his PhD thesis, which he will hopefully be defending pretty soon. And Nelson is passionate about helping other language groups around him have everything that he has. So we've left that legacy behind, and that's awesome. In a similar manner with the Pupong people, we invested heavily in a lot of them, Bible translation principles, literacy. They did the linguistics with us. We developed the alphabet together. And one lady, Charlotte, we had asked for another Nelson when we went to work with the Pupong. And Charlotte ended up not being Nelson. It was Nelson with a skirt, as I used to say initially. She is so gifted, and her ability to inspire people in literacy has just been phenomenal, to the point that the Cameron Association of Bible Translation and Literacy said, will you please step out of just coordinating for the Pupong, and will you become our regional coordinator for Eastern Cameroon? And she's doing that, and successfully, and we're very grateful for that. And among all the other language groups that we taught and mentored over the years in courses, dozens of courses, many of them now have their New Testaments, and we're seeing lives transformed. We're seeing families united in faith. We're seeing churches growing, less division. We're seeing people truly understanding God's word and being transformed by it. And that's the bottom line. We're not interested in producing books that sit in boxes or even on somebody's shelf, but we want to see transformed lives, and that's what we're all about.
That's what it's all about. One of the things that I get so inspired by when I listen to stories that come out of Wycliffe is that there's Bible translation, but you're also bringing the tools for people to develop a written language when previously it's just spoken. And that's an incredible gift in and of itself, the gift of language. And then the Bible through there is even more incredible. But as you guys think about your lives now and think about your time in even in Cameroon, Henny, I wonder if you could speak to us a little bit about what some of the challenges were that you faced and what that looked like. Because it's a lot of sacrifice. It's a lot of time and sweat and tears and blood. Mm.
Yeah, the first challenge is just learning the skills that you need at a university level to do linguistics and to work in language and do translation. And then to build that network, that team that is going to partner with you because you need their prayer support. We experienced malaria a lot. Everybody in our family had malaria at one point. We got a phone call saying, you know, your son is really sick. He had visited a friend in the village. He could die. You need to get here right away. He was evacuated, and great answer, he was healed. And then to top it off, they said, oh, by the way, you have a bill of $17,000 for his evacuation. It wasn't covered by insurance. So those kind of things came up. We dealt with civil war. And many of the things that we dealt with now, it's the local people that we think of because they deal with all this stuff every day. Another challenge is being wealthier than everyone else that lives around you and being the person that's called on to help out in every situation because you have more money than they do. We had other issues, personal tragedy. You deal with depression. You deal with conflict. Just the everyday stuff that you people deal with here, you deal with it there. It's intense, and it can cause you to want to leave and want you to quit, but we don't because we have people like you who pray for us every day, and we would never have survived. I could say that we thrived because people like you are praying for us. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So you're in this, what must still some days feel like a newish role. The last 5 years you've been back in Canada working in the head office. And you had a very particular role when you're in Cameroon. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask you this morning as we think about what it means to be like a sent person, what it means to, in our context, translate the gospel for people, what is that looking like for you now where you are? What does it mean to translate the gospel, and what does it mean to be a sent person no longer in Cameroon, but now in Alberta, you know?
Translating the gospel is loving God and loving people. It's the way that we operate in every activity of our lives. The best hour of my day is with David. He brings me tea at 5:30 in the morning, and we sit up in bed and we read God's word. And loving God means loving his word, getting to know who he is and what he is like. And then we pray that we can bear fruit. And what we mean by bear fruit is having an impact on people, influencing people, the people in our everyday lives, in our work, in our school, in our play, in private life, in public life, influencing people to make good choices, helping them to choose life, helping them to have better attitudes, better behaviors. That's what we think it is to live out the gospel. It's to be like Jesus for people and helping them to make those great choices so that they can have an abundant life in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about beginning your day the way that you do, I love that that's what it looks like. I'm inspired by that. It begins with immersing ourselves and going from there. And I wonder, just when you consider the relationship that we've had over the years and everything, is there anything that you'd like to say to our community? And we've got time, we've got space, and we want to hear from your heart. So is there anything else that you'd like to share with us?
I'll hand the mic to Dave after I say that we feel loved, we feel cherished by you people. And we really thank you, because we get to be your arms and feet, but you take care of us. We feel nurtured.
I think you said it all.
Sorry.
Well, I think I'd want to say on behalf of our community that we're thankful. We're thankful to be a part. And many of us, this will be the first time that we've even heard about this kind of work. But when we pray and when we financially contribute at Living Waters, that's part of where that money goes to. When you give to global work, it's going to Bible translation efforts around the world. And we consider that to be important. And that's why we've had such a long-standing relationship with you. That's why we've had such a long-standing relationship through you with Wycliffe, is because we want to be in the middle of that. So just want to remind you, as we give to global work, to be faithful in your giving, that there's all kinds of people all around the world that we're supporting, and this is some of the work that we're doing. Groundbreaking, innovative, beautiful, beautiful work. So we want to say thank you for letting us to even be a part of that.
Could I add one thing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I heard you say, be faithful in your giving. When you give to people, you put them on the front lines, and they come under spiritual attack. So with all your giving, be faithful in your praying, because they need prayer more than they've ever needed before, because you've enabled them, you've given them the money, you've given them the capacity to go, and the people that you support, they really need your prayers.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's pray. Let's pray for those people that even that you would know of who are where they are right now, and let's pray over you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for sending us one another, that we can listen to one another and learn from one another, and be inspired and challenged by one another. Thank you for David and Henny, and for Living Waters, and the long journey that we've had together. Thank you for the work that you've done through them. Thank you for the people, the lives transformed that David and Henny have been speaking about. And we think about all those people on those front lines, so to speak, right now. We pray especially for those who are under some severe attack, who are in the middle of unrest, who are in the middle of need, and we ask that you'd provide and protect. Thank you, Jesus, that we can join with them right now in this moment of prayer, and that we can be no closer than when we are praying. So would you knit us together as a family? Would you remind us that we are not just in Canada, but we are everywhere as your body? And would you pray, Lord Jesus, just a special extra blessing on David and Henny as they continue to be out here on the West Coast? Would you protect them? And we just thank you for who they are, and pray you'd bless them as they continue to be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we say thanks to David and Henny for joining us today?
I'm happy to share a lead in a conversation this morning with Natalie and Hagop. I'm going to ask you to come to the front, Natalie and Hagop. A number of years ago, Living Waters Church became very interested in concerns around the global refugee crisis. And it led to the stirring of an imagination and stirring of questions about how can we as a community help. It was just beyond that that a team was formed and some good research was done and some good commitments were made. And it led to June of 2018 at YVR Airport, where these two people, Hagop and Natalie, showed up. And there we had a fantastic, glorious moment of reunion. It was fantastic. So we welcomed Natalie and Hagop, brother and sister, who arrived from Jordan. And I don't know what was going on in your mind that day, Natalie and Hagop, but I was excited. Julie and I were excited. We were thrilled. We were just amazed to think that a good team could work for years and a dream could be realized. And there you were. So let's welcome Natalie and Hagop. We've introduced them a few times over. Natalie and Hagop have become such part of our lives, it's a little hard to kind of reach back to tell the story because we feel like we're well immersed in the story, but perhaps some of you who are newer today would be seeing and meeting them for the first time. But back to that picture right there. I'm going to just, what was going on in your mind that day when we met for the first time?
We didn't know who we were going to see. We only knew Angela. She's the one who has the sign, Welcome Hagop and Natalie. And we knew the rest of the team, but we didn't see their faces. We didn't know anybody. So we were kind of looking, where's Angela? Is anybody going to pick us up? What did we just do? Leave everything and come to Canada?
Yeah. What a day of enormous emotion, but yet sensing God, right, in the midst of those tender moments for sure. So you both arrived that day from the Jordan, and it was first time in Canada, correct? Tell us a little about where you were born. And how you became Christians, because I think we're very interested in your personal journey and certainly your spiritual journey, because God has done such awesome things in your life. Tell us a little bit about that.
We were both born and raised in Jordan. Our father is Syrian. Our mom is Jordanian. We had family in Syria. We had to go school year, which is September to June in Jordan, and then summer we would be in Syria and in Lebanon because of our family back there. The reason we became Christian, my mom, she went to all the churches in Jordan to get a divorce, and none of the churches would give her a divorce. So one of her friends, she said, well, there are these Pentecostal people. They do a lot of things. They might give you...
I didn't know that. I really didn't know that. So there you go. That's why we come to church, to learn. There you go. I had no idea.
No, that's actually the truth.
There you go. Yeah.
That's actually the truth. So my mom used to thread the eyebrows of the pastor's wife, and she was one day, I want to come to church with you, because, and then she went to church. She was shocked. There's singing. We come from traditional Orthodox, and then there's instruments, there are people.
This is your church here, I think,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's very different. Like, there's no, the chairs that you can put your knees down and all of that. So it was very different. And my mom said, the pastor's wife came to talk to her, and she was like, well, I want to get a divorce. And she told her, well, how about you get Jesus? And then...
There you go.
11 years later, my mom stayed in the marriage, and we became Christians. Yeah,
there you go.
Then she got the divorce. She did? But it was when everything was broken. But that's another story.
So, hey, Gob, you're a soccer player. I've seen you play soccer. You're very good.
Thank you. You're
a good import, for sure, to Canada. The Armenian team, he's actually played soccer. You've gone to Montreal to play.
Yep.
And how awesome an opportunity was that? You both have been involved in your community and in church. Your church is there. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've done in the past.
Well, I was in a school band for 9 years. I played the clarinet. Then I played for the Jordanian orchestra. And I was playing soccer back in the school again. So it was only music. That's my passion, and playing soccer.
So you play clarinet?
Drums, guitar, piano, and bass.
Okay, one of those guys. Yeah, one of those guys. Yeah. Can do it all. And he was on the sound team this morning,
actually,
last weekend, this week. So we're so...
I'm also an audio engineer.
What's that?
Audio engineer.
And you're an audio engineer.
Yep.
And do you juggle too? Like, no. You don't juggle? Okay. Well, you need to figure that out because, very good. Uh-huh. So, Natalie, what were the circumstances? So, we so appreciate the Refugee Sponsorship Committee, the good work of liaison work and just being a people to engage relationship, engage conversation. What were the circumstances that surrounded your interest to move from Jordan and perhaps even ultimately move to Canada? Your mom moved to Australia, and you have come to Canada.
Yeah. So it was in summer of 2015. My mom had moved to Australia.
Your mom is in the left.
Yeah, our family is the black and white on the left. That's my grandmother. We lived with her for all our lives. And that's my mom and brother and I. And these are the pastor and the pastor's wife, and that's their niece. And that's our last day in Jordan. They took us the day before we left. They didn't want to see us the day we leave. They were so emotional. Yeah. So they took us the day before, and they said, well, you go. Their son was there, but they couldn't come and say goodbye to us. No. We were raised, like Hagob and I attended their church when we were kids, like second grade. So they're technically, and with my mom's hard marriage and everything, they're kind of like non-biological parents and mentors. So it's
oh, very nice. And they're coming to Canada? Yeah.
We hope so, maybe.
Yeah, we're hoping to meet them sometime. Yeah.
So in 2015, my mom has decided to leave to Australia, hoping that Hagob and I could have a chance to start a life somewhere. Because it was becoming hard for us in Jordan with jobs, license, all of that, since we are Syrians living in Jordan. And we stopped getting everything. I couldn't finish my education because of my Syrian. And like, it was a very complicated process. So the pastor's wife heard in the Pentecostal assembly that happened, and that Pentecostal churches in Canada want to sponsor Syrian families. So we applied right after in 2016. We had stayed with my grandmother and my grandfather who passed away that year, 6 months after my mom left. Our grandfather passed away. He was living with us too, but he's not in the picture. So after that, we hit rock bottom. Two young people taking care of two seniors. Now one senior died, one senior left, and we're only like 23. So Annie decided that we should apply. So she did the forms, and she's like, you two need to be somewhere that you can achieve something in your lives. So we didn't know it's going to come that soon. We have applied. It took us 1 year to hear a reply. We got the reply in 2017, the approval to be coming to Canada. And then another year, we got the interview, and then 6 months, they called us 2 weeks, and they said, you have 2 weeks to leave Jordan.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. We've been waiting. Yeah, the flight was in 2 weeks. They called us, and they said, the flight is in 2 weeks. We were waiting 2.5 years, but we thought they will give us 6 months. And they said, well, 2 weeks, you're leaving. And we're like, everything was a rush.
Wow.
Yeah, God helped us a lot through the interview in the first of all, we are a family, but we're not a full family. We are brother and sister, so to many, to even apply through the IOM or through the Refugee Council or through, we weren't at the top of priority because people wanted family. But apparently Living Waters wanted us. God had spoke to the team and they chose a brother and a sister. Like, we're not a family. There's no father, there's no mother. We're two individuals, two young adults. And we prayed a lot because we haven't been hearing news and news, and everybody was saying, like, because you're not a family, you're a brother and a sister. So I think it was a miracle that this church chose us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're blessed. And what's it been like since June, Hagop? Like, you're here, and I'm sure that there's things that have surprised you, disappointed you. I'm sure that there's been a lot of good moments, and I'm sure there's been a lot of insecurities. So tell us a little bit about what it's been like for the last little while of actually coming and living now in Canada and trying to land here and find your place and find your stride.
It's been busy because since I've came to Canada, like, I waited 2 weeks and then I started roofing, like, working.
You got a job very early, yeah.
So I did that, and then I had to leave to Montreal for the soccer tournament. Then came back and then waited for a month and then started a new job now at Earls. So it's been great. And living with the Bennett, so it's an adventure.
You living live with Colin. And you live with Colin and, yeah,
and
Janet back there. Yeah, they're
amazing people.
Amazing people for sure.
Yeah.
What a good relationship has formed there. It's been it's been really God ordained. We feel how awesome it's been. So what do you miss about home?
Oh, friends.
Friends? Yeah. I bet you they miss you too. And your grandma is still alive.
Yeah. And she went to Lebanon.
She went to Lebanon.
Yeah.
Okay. And your mom is now in Australia.
Australia.
Yeah. So so here we are. Like, so think about the future now. What would be hopes and aspirations for 2019? What would you have on your mind as goals and interests for the future?
I think stability. We've moved around a lot. We come from a family that was broken and half fixed, and then we're the two people that have always been there for each other. So I think it's finally going somewhere that we are stable. We know we're not going to go anywhere anytime soon. Get proper jobs, finish degrees maybe, like, try to live as stable as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, try to build friends, surrounded by, like, we miss home. It's, of course, it's a big part of our hearts and our lives, where we grew up, all the memories. So I think now is being stable. Try to make every step as stable as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've mentioned a few times that Living Waters feels like your church back home.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean by that? What is it?
Well, when I first came to the church, I saw the setup. It was empty because Angela, she brought us to the church. So I saw the setup. It's exactly the same setup as our church, like the piano, the keyboard, guitar, drums.
And you play all the instruments. So you were going, yeah.
So I jumped.
I can play that. I can play that. Yeah. Let me at her. Hey, like.
So I thought, yeah, it's nice. Like, they have keyboard, drums, guitar. I thought it's going to be more traditional. I don't know why. But then we attended the first service. It was so great. Like, as soon as we came with the Bennetts, it was like, it felt home. Like, I was spiritually in. I felt Jesus. It was great. Like, the worship. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Just as we conclude, I know there's some people here that you want to thank. So when you were arriving, there was a number of welcome bundles.
Yes.
That you appreciated. So what were your thoughts on that?
Yes, I want to thank the team who set up the sponsorship program, like Angela, Melissa, and Lauren, Gord, Donnie, Lynn, the people who have been around us the whole time. There's certain life groups that got us to buy our things from IKEA, the bundles that Leah has prepped every single person, like people who gave us kitchenware, blankets, pans, cooking trays, all of that are, it helped in every single way. We thank you so much for your generosity, and we want to thank the Bennetts. They hosted us before we couldn't even have a place. We were living in their house in the top floor, and then we're now renting in their basement suite. So thank you so much for being that generous. And they have wonderful family and a dog, granddaughters that we both love so much. And thank you for the community that actually helped us. Like, we were never alone. There are people, we went through so many phases, Hagop and I. People were there. People called and said, let's go for a walk. Let's go for somewhere. And people like Shopland gave us our first start, which is Jim and Lori. And I want to thank Maureen. She gave me my first job. I was so depressed. And it's a kick from there. And now I'm getting a new job, and I'm starting tomorrow. And yeah. So I thank the people that we've been blessed, and we really appreciate that. It's not easy being, we come from different culture, different aspects from how we communicate as in our cultures to here, but thank you so much for accepting us, and thank you so much for standing next to us, and bless you so much, because we're feeling so safe and loved here. Thank you.
Yeah. Right on. Well, what a good story. And thanks for being authentic. Why don't we pray, right? So God, today, we sense your life and your love in this room today. Thank you for being a good father. Thank you for taking care of your people all over the world. Thank you for a generous community, Living Waters, who is so interested in opening up hearts and hands to be a blessing. We thank you for Natalie and Hagob. What our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you for good friendship. Thank you for kindred spirit. Thank you for good testimony today. Thank you that you provide grace and mercy to lead us along with the challenges that come, and the mountains to climb, and the valleys to cross. Thank you for the grace to do those things. And now we pray that today would be another moment of Natalie and Hagob just sensing good welcome amongst from this community to them, that we believe that you lead steps of righteous people, and that we would be of a mind that Natalie and Hagob are here at such a time as this for good reasons and for good purposes and a good path to be on to get them to a good place in the future. So bless them today. Encourage them. Bless Grandma. Bless Mom. And this entire family as they would be separated. Thank you for this series about sent Living Waters, and we pray that as you lead each of us, that we would sense just that encouragement from your Spirit to take good steps towards the right things, and know that good things come when we do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.